Shotgun snap. Hoyer pocket. Fires. Gordon catches. He's got a blocker. It's Hawkins. Over the 30. Up to the 35. Stretches to the 36. And a first down. That was the big guy catching and the little guy blocking. And he got 12 and a first down on the play.
And welcome back, Josh.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machine, sharp copiers when it comes to Browns fans. Their loyalty for our team's unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Teamed with OBM's designation as the only sharp platinum level service provider in town, so OBM can tackle any of your copier problems and it'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Browns. Visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Juravicious with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Told you General Manager Ray Farmer would have a statement on a report that Johnny Manziel and his entourage were involved in an incident around 2:30 late Friday night, 2:30 in the morning, so I guess it'd be early Saturday morning at the 9 in downtown Cleveland. And here's what Ray Farmer had to say, and I quote, "We are aware of the incident and are in the process of gathering additional information in order to gain a complete understanding of what occurred. Nonetheless, the time of the incident, that being 2:30 in the morning, is concerning to us. We continually stress to all of our players the importance of sound decision-making in an effort to avoid putting themselves in these types of situations. We have addressed this appropriately with the player and will have no further comment at this time." Guys, what you guys have both played in the league. If you're reading this, how is this playing in the locker room right now for Johnny Manziel?
It's kind of like a moot point, I think, because you just had it. You just came off a very big victory, and the fashion with which you won that football game too will carry over and linger as an overall feeling of a locker room, and I don't necessarily think, knowing some of the personalities and the personality of this locker room, that any one guy feels the need to go over to Johnny and say something to him or to straighten him out. Because Johnny's Johnny, and this is by any means a surprise to anybody. Because as we said, you know, during the break, as we kind of teased to this point, or hearing from Ray Farmer, is I think Johnny's frustrated. You know, I think Johnny's getting bored. You know, Cleveland might not be the fast-paced lifestyle that he's used to living between Vegas and L.A. and down there in Texas.
Do you
and,
think that, though? You think that he's getting bored? I mean, he seems very engaged still on the sidelines. Do you think just as a competitor, the fact that he's not playing,
yes,
he's not liking it?
Yes, correct. And also, too, it's, you know, he's finding there's only so much he can do. He's not you know, you're doing as best he can to fulfill him as his role on the football team as one play away and a scout team guy. But for a super competitive player like him and him wrecking this league, his plan for himself and what he thought would happen is not going to his own accord.
There's no question he's frustrated. But, you know, there's not one guy in that locker room that has the popularity of Johnny. There's not one guy in that locker room. None of us understand what it's like to be a megastar. That guy's not even sniffing the field right now, and he's a megastar. Everywhere he goes in the United States, everybody and their mom knows Johnny Football. So I do think he's getting frustrated. The fact that he's an ultra-competitive guy, like Matt has said, you're not playing on the football field, that's really frustrating, man. So if this did happen, you know, he's got a lot of learning to do to be a quarterback in the National Football League, and it's just a distraction. I mean, let's say he was starting this coming week, and this was out there. This just came out. I mean, now there's a whole – now it becomes detrimental to the team because there's negative publicity out there again, and it's a distraction.
Do you guys care as players, or would you care – I mean, what do you think about the fact that he's out at 2:30 in the morning on a Friday night? Does that matter at all?
It matters a little bit, but I think – and again, Joe and
it's
I just –
Friday. It's not the game Saturday.
It's not the game, but, I mean, you would also like to think that this is a once a season, maybe twice a season kind of thing, you know, because again, the holidays are around, his buddies might've been in town or maybe they're in town an awful lot. And he got, you know, persuaded to go out and make some type of an appearance at a bar club and kind of dove into his friends and had a good night. And it's unfortunate that something happened for us to even know that he's out at this time. But I will say that a lot of the veterans in a locker room and a lot of the young players that see the NFL from the business side very early know not to be out at that time because bad things happen.
Right. I think all that will change when Johnny does see the football field. So being out at 2:30, like Matt said, you know, is it a big deal? Yes, kind of it is. But again, he's a quarterback that's not playing right now, and he's really young. That's what we keep forgetting is how young this guy is. But the other thing, too, is depending on what happened, if somebody did go up to him and try to kiss him and all that, I mean, Johnny's got personal space too. You can't be crowding somebody and expect them to be open to you.
Sure.
Especially at 2:30.
You're absolutely right. And one other unique point that I just like to make that I think is very pertinent to the situation that you kind of touched upon, Joe, is I think the fact that he's a quarterback, not that he's Johnny Manziel and he's, you know, ever so popular, but that's one thing that you don't see an awful lot, today is a quarterback out. You're always seeing a running back, a wide receiver, defensive backs, or maybe even some offensive or defensive players. But a quarterback, because they're held in such high esteem, they're paid the most money on a football team in most cases, and they're held to the highest standard because a quarterback can make or break your football team and or in a football game. So sure. That is one thing that is very unique because you do not hear stories about, The starters in the NFL, definitely you don't hear those negative getting into a fight or being out drinking too late or those types of things. But even their backups, because they always have to be ready if something were to happen to that starter. So it's unique for us to have a quarterback who's Mr. Popularity.
Like, would you guys ever have gone out on a Friday night at 2:30?
I lived in New York City, and I would go out to dinner on Friday night if friends and family would come in, but I always had the understanding or the responsibility that I had to show up for work at 8 o'clock. So, I knew better for myself that I wouldn't function properly if I was out till 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning having fun. Going to dinner, maybe having a drink to calm down, and get ready to start resting up for the game on Sunday was one thing. But I'm looking at this picture that we're seeing here on Cleveland Scene Weekly. I want to know where the big swan is.
That was from this past summer. That was when he was in Austin, Texas.
The water's really murky. It looked like it could be the Chagrin or something. I don't know.
It is not happening. The Cuyahoga. That is hilarious. Other thing, too, is he's 21. At least I seem to remember when I was 21 that I could go out and I would be fine the next day. That was one of the beauties of being 21.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can, too.
Wasn't he in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago?
I was. Yeah. I was. It was nice. There you go.
I
was not 21, though.
That's right.
Unfortunately, it takes a little.
No, I agree. He's young. He's and my only combative perspective on this is, if he's got an entourage and security guards and all this stuff, he's under the management team that manages LeBron, I think Maverick Carter and that group of guys, he's got to have, a top-level management team, a top-level agent, and as he prepped for the draft and went through what to say it, how to speak about himself and who he is when he speaks to general managers and head coaches, is a lot of what he learned there has to continue to be a part of who he is. Because he will constantly be criticized and be scrutinized at a higher degree or as someone who is playing in football games every Sunday. And he must know that.
I mean, you're talking about Tom Brady. I read an article on Tom Brady not long ago that says that it's really hard for him to go out in public. So therefore, during the season, if he does go out with a couple of the offensive linemen or his wife, he's got to call ahead and set things up. But again, you're talking about somebody that's so popular that, you can't even wrap your head around it. I mean, to be associated with LeBron James, his crew and management team, you've got to be somebody. They just don't give that to me.
Right.
Two questions. Number one, does this ever happen to Brian Hoyer?
No.
No.
Okay. Number two, if Johnny Manziel had been the starter, would this be a much bigger deal in your mind?
Yes.
For sure. I think 100%. I think in the unfortunate part, if he were starting – it becomes a distraction to a team right now that can't afford distractions.
And it's how easily is, again, if age goes out the window, that he's only 21 if he's a starter in this league. So if you can, be responsible enough and talented enough to assume a starting role for one of 32 NFL football teams, you need to make the decisions associated with being that position as well. And the number goes out the window, 21. Who cares?
Act like it. There we go. We have act like professional. And listen, at some level, the timing of it is what it is, but it's hard to be responsible for everybody around you. I guess you just need to be smart with who you have around you ultimately there. But that was a statement from the Browns. No further statement expected to happen, and we'll see what happens. It is concerning to the organization. We'll see where this goes from here. Let's go back to the phones, 216-578-0850. Talk about, obviously, the great Browns victory over the Falcons yesterday. We've got Lauren in Akron on the phone. What's up, Lauren?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Okay, guys. Look, I'm from mostly the cardiac kids era was my kind of era of football, even though I go before that. But you know what? Talking about Hoyer reminds me a lot of Brian Sipe, what they said back then. You know, he didn't have arm strength. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do that. But he won.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. I'm sitting there watching this stuff, and I'm sitting there watching all these people complain. We won the game.
You play to win the game.
You play to win the game.
That's right.
You're right.
That's right.
Peyton Manning have a bad game. They don't complain about Peyton Manning and what the interception he throw. They say they won the game. And also, one more kudos. Kudos to Greg Pruitt. Greg Pruitt said weeks ago, he said that number 34, he said that's who should be starting. He said the rest of he said the other back, he's talking about Ben Tate, is not, you know, he runs too straight up and down, which he does, okay? Correll, he has that, Crow has that lean about him.
You yes,
know,
he
the
does.
Lean that a good running back has, that lean. Tate ran straight up. And the only back I've ever seen to run straight up and be successful is two, and that is O.J. Simpson and Eric
Dickerson.
Where
that got him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, but I'm saying as far as football. And Eric Dickerson, who is, you know, who ran straight up. But other than those two, I can't think of anyone else that ran straight up like that and was really successful.
Maybe Steve Jackson. He's always been a little bit of an upright runner. But, yeah, Crowell's got the lean. He's got the talent. Maybe Greg was listening to our show for months and months.
Yes, he has.
I've been trying to get this guy the football, the
his
Crow.
His balance.
Well, don't give kudos to my boy Brian Sipe because he was a 17th-round draft pick. You know, think about that. 17 rounds back then. He was an afterthought.
And did you know, did you hear, I don't know if you heard this earlier today, but the last quarterback to throw back-to-back 300-yard games for the Cleveland Browns was, in fact, your guy, Brian Sipe.
There you go.
All right,
guys. Hey, have Lauren, a good one. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Same to you, man. Thank you
so much. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's keep it going here. We have got Steve in North Carolina. Steve, welcome to CBD.
Hey, hi, guys. Good to hear you all be so happy.
And, yeah, it's always
right.
Good, right?
I played golf with Brian, and I also saw him run those. They had those 300-hour games, and I was a little disappointed when. When what's his name got that field going, I said, oh my God, we're playing good enough to lose. But no, we played good enough to win, and we won the game. And I go all the way back to Jim Brown. I saw Jim Brown play too. I'm 78 years old. I love this team. My son's going to be in Hawaii Sunday. I'm going to the first Browns backers game I've ever been to here
That'll
in
be
North
fun.
Carolina in Raleigh. And, we got to keep going. We got five playoff games going now, and I couldn't be any more excited.
That's right, and I think that he's absolutely correct, and that is something that you know we know as being in this building, and that is the approach of this football team.
Yep.
They know they in most cases having another a home game against the Cincinnati Bengals, they control their own destiny, and their preparation for each football game and how close they hold it to their heart will matter. And if they go into any game and expect, you know, one victory for them to just roll their helmets out and roll over any team on the remainder of the schedule, it's not going to happen because they have to play as if they still have everything to prove, which I think we do.
We certainly do. We're 7-4. We're nowhere yet because you look at this division, 7-4 right now has the Browns sitting in third place. And if the Ravens win tonight, then I think the Browns will still be you-know-where in this division, which is crazy. But the fact of the matter is they have an opportunity to get into the playoffs and they have to treat every single game like that. And if they do, they have a very good chance, I think, to go somewhere this season. This was a game that we said, I thought it was the season. I said that drive. I was talking on the sideline with some people when we got the ball back with 44 seconds. Said, here's the season. If we want to go to the playoffs, we need to get it done right here. And that's exactly what the Browns did. It was clutch and you love to see it. Let's go right now to Adam in Sandusky. Adam, welcome to CBD.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Great, man.
Good. Here, I have a couple quick points from yesterday why I feel pretty comfortable with that game. One is, through the seven Browns victories, it's either been the defense bailing out the offense bailing out the defense. But in this case yesterday, I think both offensive and defensively, they bailed out everybody, including the coaching staff. And then another quick point is, when CBS showed Brian Hoyer on the sideline after Atlanta made that field goal, I felt very comfortable we were going to go down and win that game because he looked up at the scoreboard. He knew what he had to do. He had 44 seconds to get it done. One drive, that's all you were going to get. and he made the most of it.
He certainly
did.
That's
why I feel comfortable with him at quarterback.
I think that's a good point, Adam, and we've said it all along because he's a guy. Gets better when you need him to get better, so that is good.
It was, and I agree with the caller to say, you know, paying attention to Brian Hoyer's mannerisms, you know, on the broadcast camera and how frustrated he was with that decision and not knowing if he'd get the football back. But the fact that the defense went out and held them to a field goal, forced a long field goal, and you could see the aggression in Brian Hoyer in him putting down his helmet and him just knowing that he has an opportunity to make right by some of his mistakes.
You know, competition is great because it brings out a lot in a person. And obviously, you know, he was frustrated with what he did for the majority of that game. Missed some throws, the interceptions. To be able to come back when, again, he was probably really, really dejected at that particular point in the game. And to be able to come back and just have enough moxie to go in there and kind of knock it out the park, he did it. So, again, that's a great job by Brian. Wasn't as pretty as Brian would want it, and he self-admitted that after the game in his post-game press conference. But for him to come in there, have enough leadership, and lead that team down the field and ultimately bring the record to what it is right now, tells you a lot about his character. It
tells you a lot about his character, a lot about the fact that he wanted this game badly, and when he needed to come through, that's what he did. The Browns win it 26-24. When we come back, we're going to check in with three-time Super Bowl champion Gerard Cherry, who will join the show as we'll ask him some questions about this Browns win, this team, where it's going, Johnny Manziel, all that and more up next on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Your breath, and you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover.